I want to invite you this morning to open your Bible to Acts chapter 9. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 19. Now, if you don't have a Bible, maybe you're not familiar with the Bible, that's okay. We provide a Bible for you. It's in the seat in front of you. The page number is in the bulletin, or it's page 777. It's a good three good numbers there. 777, you can find the reading there. We want you to open God's Word, to study God's Word, to hear God's Word for yourself. So we are starting last week, going through next week. We're doing a sermon series on our equipping strategy here at Brenham's First Baptist about how to share your faith, how to give a testimony of salvation through Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at the question of what was your life like before meeting Jesus. Today, we're looking at the question of how did you become a Christian? And we're doing that today by looking in Acts 9 at one of the most famous, if not the most famous, conversion story in history, the conversion of Paul from an enemy of Jesus Christ to a follower of Jesus Christ. And I would dare say, and I would argue, that this isn't just one of the most famous conversion stories. This is one of the most important points in history, a very dramatic encounter that Paul had with Jesus. But as we read about this, as we read these verses, as we'll see today, I also want you to think about your own story. If you're a Christian this morning, how did you become a Christian? So again, starting at Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 1 through verse 19, follow along as I read. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, 'Ananias!' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. The Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.' 'Lord,' Ananias answered, 'I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. He has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength." Church, this is the Word of God. Before we get today into this exercise that I want us to do, kind of using Paul as a template to tell our own story about how we became a Christian, let me note just real briefly three historical points that I think are important whenever we read these verses here. The first thing that I want to point out is that I've heard many sermons talk about Saul's conversion, that when he was converted, that when he became a follower of Jesus Christ, his name went from Saul to Paul. And maybe you've heard a message like that before. And there are instances in the Bible where someone has an encounter with God and God changes their name. But in this situation, that's not what's happening. Saul's name was not changed to Paul when he became a Christian. Saul was his Hebrew name. So when he's in Jerusalem and Judea, in those areas where people primarily spoke Hebrew or Aramaic, Aramaic was the language primarily that Jesus spoke, that he would have gone by his Hebrew name, Saul. As he moves out of Judea to these areas like modern-day Turkey, modern-day Greece, modern-day Italy, those areas where he spent a lot of his work starting churches, then it would have been a Hellenized or a Greek name of Paul. In fact, in Acts 13:9, it says, Saul, who is also called Paul. So it's the same person, it's just how that name was used in different contexts. That's the first thing I just want you to note. The second thing I want to note kind of historically is that when Jesus appears to Saul, he does not say, why are you persecuting the church? He doesn't say, why are you persecuting Christians? He says, did you see this? Why are you persecuting me? That says something, doesn't it? Again, we're not going to go into too much detail. That says something about Jesus and his care and love for the church. That as the church is being persecuted, that Jesus can say, you are persecuting me. Jesus loves and cares for his church. No one loves the church more than Jesus. That's the second point. The third point, just to note, that it's interesting, I think it's interesting, to see as the church grows what people called Christians. And I don't know if you saw this in verse 2, it says here, talking about Christians as people who belonged to the way. People of the way. This is how some of the early Christians were understood as. And if you remember, Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, for the early church, sometimes we were referred to as people of the way. So just three little kind of historical notes that are important as you read these verses. Now, what we're going to do today as we get into this text is I want to do three things this morning. The first thing is, I want to talk about this question, how did you become a Christian? That's the question I want all of us to be able to answer today, is if you're a Christian. How did you become a Christian? Again, using these verses as a kind of template for us, I want us to do three things. Number one, how is everybody's story different? Secondly, how is everybody's story the same? And then thirdly, what are some principles that we can learn about how we can share the good news of Jesus Christ with people who don't yet know him? So the first thing is, how is this different? How is everybody's story of how they became a Christian different? Well, it's going to be different, isn't it? In our, you know, how we were raised, where we were raised, the context of our life, who our parents were, what town we were born and raised in, what century we were born into. All of those things are going to be unique to our life. Last week we saw about Paul. Paul was born into a Jewish family. He was born into the Jewish tribe of Benjamin. He was raised outside of Judea in a town called Tarsus, but he was as a young man, he studied and was vigorous in his studies in Jerusalem. And this is the context of his story, his family, his history, the context. Each of us has a different context in terms of our background. Another thing that's unique are the choices that we make before we are a Christian. You know, last week we saw Paul. What were the choices that he made before he became a Christian? Well, he was someone very passionate about God's word. For him, God's word would have been what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures. Paul was meticulous in trying to obey the Hebrew scriptures. He was meticulous in trying to follow the traditions of his ancestors, to be obedient in such a way that God would accept him. His zeal even went to the point where he was willing to persecute enemies of his Jewish faith, go after people like Christians. That was the choices that he made before he became a Christian. But that's going to look different for each one of us. Some people may have that story before they became a Christian. They were always very sensitive to God. They always had a sensitivity to wanting to be obedient to God and follow him. Maybe that you were raised in the church, and so you just had developed that sense of kind of sensitivity to God and wanting to obey him. Or maybe not. Maybe the choices you made before you're a Christian have been decisions that have been very much self-destructive. You know, whatever the dumb decision was to make, you always seem to make it, right? You've made self-destructive decisions in terms of your life, perhaps in terms of addiction, perhaps some of those things. So the decisions that we make before we are becoming a Christian are going to be unique to each one of our stories, isn't it? You know, how we were raised, the decisions that we made. Also, and this is more for next week, but it's important to note, that what makes each one of us unique is the different ways that God is going to use each one of us. We're going to talk about that more next week. But did you see Paul's call to ministry? Look with me again at verse 15. He said, "This man," talking about Paul, "is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles," that is to non-Jews, "and their kings, and before the people of Israel." Now, putting myself in a young man's shoes like Paul, ambitious, I can hear him go, "Yeah, I'm going to tell kings, the people in power, that I'm going to tell them about Jesus." What a great opportunity to tell people about Jesus. But do you see the second part? This is the part where most pastors, we like to skip this part over in terms of call to ministry. He says, "And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." When you read the story of Paul and how God used him, you see somebody who was brutally treated for the name of Jesus. I mean, there are times in his life where people go, "We've killed him. Let's move on." That's how brutally beaten he was. He was imprisoned. He suffered greatly for the name of Jesus. And we'll talk more about that next week and how Paul says, "Yet I consider all things a loss to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." We'll talk about that next week. But it is important to note that when we're talking about our story in terms of salvation, how Jesus saved us and made a difference in our life, there are going to be parts of our story that are unique to us. Paul's story was unique. Your story is unique. But as unique as each of our stories is, there's also going to be something that's the same in every story. In every story of someone who became a Christian is that somehow, somewhere along the way, God got your attention. God got your attention. It may be that you found that life just wasn't working, right? Just going through difficulties. You may find yourself in a place where the decisions that you've made, you're now bearing the consequences of those things, and you're coming to the end of yourself. It may be something as simple and as important as God, you've heard this story a bunch of times, but for whatever reason, the Spirit of God, through the preaching of God's word, impresses upon your heart in a way that it never had before. And you're brought, God has your attention. And when God has your attention, he has your attention for a purpose, for every single one of us. When God gets our attention, the reason he does that is to point us to two realities: that we are a sinner, secondly, that we need a Savior. He does that for every person. For someone like Paul, right? Paul's life before he met Jesus was not partying and drugs and rebellion. It was diligent study of the Bible. And yet, God had to get his attention and help him to realize that as meticulous as you have been in your piety pales in comparison to the holiness of God, and you too are a sinner in need of a Savior. And that may be some of you here today. That may be your story. Again, maybe it is that story of having that sensitivity to God, that you've always sought to be a good person. You've looked down on those who make self-destructive decisions, and yet God's got your attention. And maybe there's a breaking of the pride that needs to happen, and you realize that you need Jesus too, that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. We talked about this last week, but there's some of you here that you realize you're a sinner. You realize that you've made a mess of your life. And if you're not at rock bottom, you're seeming to go down that path. You've made poor decision after poor decision, self-destructive decision after self-destructive decision. And yours is not so much one of pride, but one where you wonder if Jesus can truly save someone like me. And maybe the way that Jesus gets your attention by showing you that you're a sinner in need of a Savior is helping you to see that you're not too far gone for Jesus. That His grace is sufficient for someone even like you. So we see that, don't we? Got His attention, right? Got His attention to help us to see that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. And then that it calls for response, that we hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ, that the salvation that you could not earn through your good deeds or meriting before your pious behavior or the reality that you are far from God and you need grace, that all of that is borne by Christ on the cross. And so the good news comes to us as the message of the cross, that what was impossible for you is made possible by Jesus and what He did. It was His blood that cleansed you from your sins. It was His death that rescued you from sin and shame. It's His power that frees you from the power of sin. It is His victory that has defeated death so that you can have the hope and assurance of eternal life even now. It is through Christ that you are saved. And that is the message of the good news. And we are called to respond either in faith, putting your faith in Christ, or we turn away and reject and reject the good news of Jesus Christ. The story here of Paul is that he received, put his faith in Jesus, and literally his sight is restored, but also spiritually, right? He was spiritually blind, but now he can see in the same way that God blinded him physically and gave him sight. Now he has spiritual sight. So the thing that is same about every story, the same that is true for Paul, that is true for you if you are a Christian, the thing that is the same, the person that is the same, is Jesus. It's going to be the same no matter what. I was a sinner, and I realized Jesus was the Savior, and I put my faith in Him. That'll be the same for everybody who's truly been changed, saved by Jesus Christ. All right, thirdly and finally, what are some principles that can help us as Christians, if you're a Christian, share our faith? Kind of taking what we're learning today, what are some principles that we can take away from this? Number one, three things. Number one, three principles. Number one, the testimony of your salvation is true, not simply because you experienced it. It is true because Jesus is the truth. What I mean by that is this, and I've said this, and I will say this, I have no problem saying this. is when you tell others how Jesus saved you and transformed your life, nobody can argue with what you experienced. That's the power of it. But I also want to note that it's true not just because you experienced it. Because everybody has different experiences, right? We're awash in the language of that's your truth, this is my truth, all that kind of stuff. So it's true not just because you experienced it, it's true because Jesus is the truth. What's true about your experience is not simply that you experienced it, but because Jesus is the one and the only one who gives salvation. In other words, the truth of the testimony of our salvation is rooted in the foundational truth of who Jesus is and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. Now, that's a subtle distinction, but I think it's of essential importance. The reason your testimony is true is because of Jesus. He is the truth. So, principle number one, Jesus is the truth. That's what makes it true. Principle number two is Jesus is the hero of the story. No matter our story of how we became a follower of Jesus Christ, how we became a Christian, no matter what was distinctive about our life before we followed Jesus and gave our life to him, Jesus is the focus. Jesus is the hero of the story. And this is why we do not have to sensationalize our testimony. What's most important about your testimony is that Jesus saved you from your sins and gave you eternal life. Not everybody is going to have a quote-unquote sensational testimony. Not everybody is going to have the drama associated with Paul. Paul's testimony is very dramatic, but mine's not that dramatic. I've shared this with many of you. I came to faith as a 9-year-old. My mom took us to church. At that time, where we lived in Houston, we went to Tal Baptist Church. She took us to Sunday school, and then we went to Big Church. I still call it Big Church, right? We went to Big Church, and I was taken to church. I heard this message of salvation through Jesus. I heard it over and over again through my Sunday school teachers, through the pastors that I listened under. But there was something one day. Pastor Lester Collins, he was the pastor there for like 20 years at Tallawood Baptist Church. I don't even remember what he said, but I remember the impression upon my heart that I too, I was a good kid. I hadn't even tried to kill any Christians up to that point, right? You know, I was a good guy, good kid. No drugs, nothing. I was a good kid, but I realized that I was the Savior. I mean, I was a sinner in need of a Savior. That I needed the Savior, Jesus Christ, as well. So we set up an appointment, and I sat down with Pastor Collins, and he led me into that commitment where I confessed before Jesus Christ that I was a sinner, and I put my faith in him. But you know what? That story is just as important as Saul's story, is just as important as your story. Because what's most important about everybody's testimony is Jesus Christ. He's the center. What makes a good testimony is not your life before Jesus. What makes a good testimony is Jesus and the sufficiency of what he did in your life. Third thing, as I want you to hear this as well, and this is important for each one of you, for all of us. God can use you. You are not called to be Paul or Saul or whatever it is you want to call him, right? That's not the story. That was what God did through his life. God can work through your life, your personality, your background, your gifts, where God has placed you in terms of your job or your school or your extracurricular or your volunteer or hours or your family. That's not a mistake. That God has gifted you and given you passions and desires. All those things can be marshaled in ways that you are able to point people to Jesus. Jesus can even use your mistakes, your suffering, your difficulties, all of these things that make up your life. God can work through someone like you. God has put you in places so that you can point people to Jesus through the story of how Jesus saved you and changed your life. So let's get rid of this false piety that says something like this: God can't use someone like me. If I was just somebody different, if I was more outgoing or I was more whatever, that sounds pious, but it's actually a lack of faith. You're projecting onto God what he can and cannot do in your life. It's not true. God took someone like Saul, who was breathing out murderous threats against the church, and used him to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people who had never heard it. That was how God used Saul, and God can use you as well. So whatever it is that's a part of your life, we have the same Savior, and God can use you as well. So I ask you the question today: how did you become a Christian? How did you become a Christian? I want you to answer that today as we close in two ways. Number one, if you're here today and you have no idea how to answer that question, you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, some of this language may even be foreign to you, like what is he talking about? Maybe today that's why you're here. Maybe today God has you here to get your attention, to help you realize that you too need Jesus Christ. And if that's you today, let me say, call upon the name of Jesus Christ and you too will be saved. The same one who saved Saul can save you as well. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to encourage you to do, so not today, but next Sunday, August 31st at 4:00 in the Hub, which is our student building over here to my left, to your right, we're going to have a training at 4:00 led by our youth pastor. And once we call a new youth pastor, Pastor Chad Mars is going to move into this role of pastor of outreach and retirees. And we're going to go through these three questions. The question we learned last week, the question today, how did you become a Christian? Next week, what difference has Jesus made in your life? We're going to walk through a way that we can help give our testimony in ways that are natural, organic, that are part of our everyday conversations. We're talking to people. We can tell them about Jesus. It's not a formula. It's just bear witness to Jesus Christ. So all that to say, I leave you with that question today. How did you become a Christian? Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we give you glory and praise for this day. And Jesus, if there is somebody here today who has never put their faith in you, I pray today that you will use this service to get their attention and help them to see what you did for them on the cross, and by your Holy Spirit empowering, enabling, and convicting them for the first time in their life, they'll put their faith in you, Christ, and you alone for their salvation. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will also use each one of us in the circumstances and situations of our life to bear witness to you, and that you will receive the glory due your name as we tell others about you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.